Hi, I'm Dan for Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, here to share the easiest way to buy tires. Come to Dobbs. With the best tire brands and the biggest inventory, you'll get your tires the same day at the lowest price, guaranteed. Next time you need tires, get into Dobbs.
Time now for the Danny Mac Show with BK, getting you inside the Cards and St. Louis sports on 101 ESPN.
I'm not surprised that these guys are signing so quickly. I'm just surprised by the dollar amount for each of these players. And like Verlander yesterday getting $25 million, obviously he's a very deserving player. He's a Hall of Fame candidate. And he's coming off Tommy John, and he's still got $25 million for 1 year and then a player option for $25 million. So he's basically guaranteed $50 million. So like the amount of money that's going to these pitchers, I'm very surprised by that. I think that's going to end up influencing the other players in the market.
But will it? It's interesting what's happening. This is a Monday edition of our program. We don't have a guest because we thought we'd open it up to the text line and kind of, you know, we do a little free-for-all. I thought that'd be a good way to do this on a Monday. We haven't done this in a while, BK, so why not just open it up? If you have questions, you have comments, you want to yell at us, hey, fire away, 65780, which is good.
How about this, Dan? At 10:45, people love asking, especially the voice of the Cardinals,
Danny Mac, the Cardinals broadcaster, future Cardinals. Hey, we're just going to keep
it open. We'll leave it there.
Just shut up.
How about let's do questions and answers coming up at 10:45. 65780 is the Air Comfort Service text line. We don't do this often, but
we fired up right now. We'll just get interspersed
the show.
Yeah,
I love it. So 65780 is the Air Comfort Service text line. If you guys have some questions, Cardinals offseason related, just big picture Cardinals, whatever it might be, we'll get into a lot of that. We can let our hair down a little bit today, Dan.
I like it.
We can kind of go take a step back and talk about where we're at,
because to me, it's really been a fascinating offseason already, and it was you and I talking 2 weeks ago, and we both posed the question to each other as December 1st is coming around the corner. Hey, what do you think? Are there going to be teams that go out and are aggressive? Do you think players sign? Well, it kind of seems like business as usual with what's going on right now with the happenings of Major League Baseball, and we know that looks like a lockout is coming. For instance, the 314 says, why not trade for Alcantara, which I'm sure they heard us talking on the crossover, and I'm sure you saw this. The reports are like 5 years, roughly just over $55 million for Sandy Alcantara. And if that is true, if that does happen, what a steal that is for Miami. So then what you're saying is they traded Marcell Ozuna to get some of the players from St. Louis, with the centerpiece being Sandy Alcantara, and the extension could be after two really good years, three really now, 5 years and just over $55 million. That is a steal for Miami. I was telling Randy, I went through the schedule, BK, of the pitching that the Cardinals faced this year. I think the best or most well-pitched game I saw against the Cardinals this year was Sandy Alcantara. He went the distance on a day game. I think it was a Wednesday at Busch Stadium. Why I remember this, it was the 101 ESPN day across the street.
Yep.
You guys were there. And I think it was Yachty that had a walk-off hit down the left field line or third base line that won the game for the Cardinals. And they had two walk-offs in that series. Paul Goldschmidt also hit a home run. But they won that game. Johan Oviedo pitched in that game and pitched well. One of his best pitch games of the season. But I'm like, man, that guy is not getting the attention he deserves because of where he's pitching, which is in Miami. And 5 years, $55, $60 million, I don't care if it's 70. That's a hell of a deal for Miami. They've got a cornerstone number one ace for the next 5 years.
It's outstanding. I said the numbers earlier today to Tanner because he was wondering what this could mean for some of the Cardinals pitching candidates for one of those extensions. And over the last 3 years, what you've seen out of Alcantara is basically, I mean, not quite to the level of Jack Flaherty, but he's been more consistent than Jack. He's given you starts every fifth day, yep, which is something that you haven't been able to say, unfortunately, over the last couple of years with Jack Flaherty. So he's an incredibly gifted young starter. He was projected to make $4.5 million this year in arbitration. This was his first year of arbitration. He's 26 years old, so this buys out his arbitration plus 2 years of free agency. This takes him through his age 30 season. This is a perfect steal for the Miami Marlins. This is exactly the kind of contract that you want to sign these starting pitchers for, because now you've locked up essentially what is the prime of his career, or what you would expect to be the prime of his career. And this is the kind of deal that the Cardinals love making. They did this with Paul DeJong. They did it with Carlos Martinez. And I know for some, they'll say those haven't worked out, but it's betting on the upside. If you get this right, it hits in a big way. Colton Wong's another one that they did this with.
You can look at Alan Craig, even going back further. It paid off early. And then
Carpenter.
And then you flipped him for John Lackey, and that worked out because you got him on $500,000. So, sometimes these deals really do work.
Yeah, and when you sign
if you and I are in a front office,
I'd sign every young player
fascinating.
Place. Everybody would be Ronald Acuna for us, where it's like, hey, they're signed 10 years. We paid basically nothing to lock them up, but they're signed for 10 years, and it's cost certainty, baby.
BK, the average age of your team would be 16.
That's correct, yeah.
So I was thinking about this from the Miami perspective, and this is why I love doing a show with you, because you're really good at the numbers. You're really good at projections. I give you a lot of credit. You do your homework. So I started thinking, okay, if I'm Miami, and I've traded away Ozuna, so I'm going to throw this at you. Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, and I'm going to throw JT Realmuto in there as well, because they traded him to the Phillies. So that's really, it was kind of their big four. And correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm missing anybody. The Yelich deal, I'm kind of like, in a way, I'm saying maybe we got lightning in a bottle, because that body is not gone the way that we projected it, because now he's got back issues. The Brewers signed him up, and that really could hamstring the Brewers for a long time. Small market team that, if you're going to give that kind of money to a player, boy, oh boy, you better be right. Now, what they got back coming in that deal has not panned out. The Ozuna deal, well, if you signed Sandy long term, that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The Realmuto deal, to me, it all is on Sixto. His health.
Sanchez,
yeah. Yeah, if Sixto Sanchez is healthy, then I'm saying, okay, I can handle this deal. Didn't really want to do it. Realmuto is a great player, but this is the hand we're dealt, so what are we getting back? And then the Stanton deal, there's been some players that are okay, but, man, those are four cornerstone franchise-type players that you let go. You got to hit on some of these, and the one that they may have hit on is Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, and they ended up trading away Zach Gallen as well, who was part of that deal for Ozuna coming from the Cardinals side. At the end of the day, you want one guy that hits, and Sandy Alcantara was that guy.
I'd say you
got to
have more than one.
I would tend to agree. Unfortunately, we see how these things go. Like, look at what the Red Sox got in return for Mookie Betts.
Oh, yeah.
There's just not the return that you would expect
Verdugo is
to
part
see.
Of that.
Yeah, and he's a good player. But some of these guys just don't get as much. I mean, look at what the Cleveland Indians were able to get last year. I guess the Guardians now for Francisco Lindor.
By the way, did you see what happened to their sign across the on the team store?
No, what happened?
So they got the Guardians logo. It looked to be like a lit up sign, you know, like a neon, for lack of a better term, a beautiful sign of the Guardians. Did you see this, Tanner? I think it was above their team store. Took a picture. You know, they're all excited. Hey, the new logo is going up. An hour later, the thing smashed on the ground. And I was like, well,
it's not a great,
could be a sign of things to come. That's a tough start.
The Marlins in this spot were able to get a future, whether you want to call him a number one, an ace, whatever it ends up being. Sandy Alcantara is that. And if you can get that.
He's better than that, man. He's for sure an ace. I'm saying, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm thinking top five right now in the National League.
You can make a strong argument for it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I love that guy, man. I didn't want to see him go.
He's really good.
I saw him when he was coming through, and I was like, and I did his Major League debut, and I was like, wow, tall, lanky, long arm, fires it. And by the way, by all accounts.
Strike thrower.
By all accounts, I had talked to people that had him in the minor leagues. Great kid. Like, they said, oh, man, the makeup of this guy. And that, look, great. Let me put it to you this way. I want people that put up numbers. And if you're a good guy, that's the bonus. If you're a bad guy, okay. But by all counts, like, he checked off every box. That one was tough to give up. Now, when you got Ozuna at the time, in my mind, I was like, hey, Tyler O'Neill's not ready. You're not sure about Bader. We are hearing about this Dylan Carlson kid. But
it was the right move.
It totally was the right move. And you went to a National League Championship Series with Marcell Ozuna. And by the way, when they let him go, I didn't want to see him go. I would have brought him back.
Ozuna?
I liked him. I liked his bat. I thought, I know that's going to make you cringe. Tanner just cringed. I didn't realize that Tyler O'Neill was going to turn into what he's turned into.
How could anybody?
So I was like, well, you throw money at the given. And the given was Marcell Ozuna. I knew I was going to get 25 home runs, 80 runs batted into 100. And he did not play defense the way that I anticipated when he got to St. Louis.
He just ended it after he did not play defense.
But I could have lived with it, okay? But you know what? Hey, it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And that's when, now I'm going off on all these tangents, when teams are like, well, Mo isn't willing to pull the trigger and this organization is, wait a minute. They went out and got Marcell Ozuna. If you would have said to people 5 years ago, you're going to have Marcell Ozuna, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, they said, you're out of your mind. Well, you have to do that because you got a pretty talented system and soon to be Matthew Liberatore in the big leagues, too. They take some chances, man, and then they sign these guys long term. So it worked out. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
So let's project this for the Cardinals now, because this is the type of deal that they like to make, as we had mentioned previously. If we're projecting here, this is pure speculation. We're not reporting anything. If you were
make
to
sure
guess,
that we say this, yeah, depending this on what comes out of your mouth here, go ahead.
If you were to say there's one guy that you think the Cardinals could give this kind of an extension to, you're buying out arbitration years, adding on a couple to the back end this offseason, who would you go with? We did this last week, and I think there's a really good case to be made for Tyler O'Neill to be that guy.
That would be my guy.
I would not.
How old
do it
is
on
he
the,
now? BK, what? Is he 25, 26? So you're saying, like, take him to age 31, 32.
He's 26 years old. He'll be in his age 27 season next year.
And he's a free agent in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now you're 27, 28, prime of your career, buy out a couple of more years. That's a prime candidate. And it wouldn't shock me one bit. Mo and the front office like to operate looking at one or two candidates going into spring training. So you set your team for the most part. You go into spring training, you kind of see where you're at. You know, you're talking to your coaching staff, you're watching guys work out, and some guys come back different, right? I mean, you look at him, you're like, ooh, I like what I see.
O'Neill was that guy last year.
That's right. First at bat, I keep saying this, first at bat went the other way. Started hitting the ball the other way with authority, not mm-hmm. pulling off sliders, that kind of thing. Have I seen enough out of Tyler O'Neill to feel comfortable making that extension? I have. Now, it's 1 year, granted. Do I think there'll be pitfalls with it in terms of, man, that two-week period looks bad? Yep. And then the next week he hits five bombs. I go, yeah, I feel pretty good about it. You know, that's part of this. Is Bader maybe that guy?
Yeah, and you don't have to convince me, Dan. I've already done it three times.
I understand that. And Bader would be on my list. And I'll tell you why. I always go back to what Whitey Herzog would say. He'd say, yeah, Ozzy's not going to drive in 100, but he's going to save me 100. Harrison Bader, if you really want to dive into when this team was better and when it was not, a lot of it had to do with Harrison Bader. And folks will look at what he did offensively. And I'm not saying he's Mickey Mantle out there in terms of what he does offensively. But I am saying he is elite, and he is elite defensively. He makes you so much better as a team. And when did this team win? When they were playing good defense and you didn't have Tommy Edman in right and Dylan Carlson in center, and putting people out of position. Everything, I'll pull back the curtain. I talked to John Mozeliak probably, this was like 5 months ago, and guys were out, and we were just talking about, he said, man, I'm here to tell you, Dan, he said, when Bader is in the lineup, and he said, I granted, he's got some pitfalls offensively. We understand that, but he calms everything down defensively. And I felt that way, but then I started taking a really hard look at it, and you know I love to dive into the baseball numbers sabermetrically. Mm-hmm. He made everybody different sabermetrically, like the ground that they covered, the comfort level that was out there, the fact that he got to everything in the gaps for the most part. BK, he misjudged one ball, by my estimation, this year. One. And that was at Wrigley Field in the sweep. He came in on a ball. The wind was blowing out. And I said, you know what? He misplayed it. That's the first ball he's misplayed all year. That was it. So he'd be a candidate for me. I know some fans would say, where are you at with Jack Flaherty? Can you approach him? Are they doing that right now? You got 2 years of control.
I would approach him with a contract that they just saw signed today and say, hey, we comp you to Sandy Alcantara. He's going to say no, and that's fine. We can both go our separate ways, and we'll go back to the table this time next year. But I would talk to him about it.
Sure. I mean, you get 2 years, and then buying out 3 to 4 years, and you've got your frontline starter for 6. Absolutely, that has to be on the table. So those would be the, as I'm just thinking right now, I'd also look at an extension potentially for Giovanni Gallegos. I'd look at where I'm at. I mean, he's been really solid now for 3 years.
I'm always nervous with bullpen relievers, arms to do one of those, but...
But understood. I think it's a calculated risk. So if it doesn't work, you know, they went with different guys that they tried to sign in the free agent market bullpen-wise. It did not work. Brett Cecil being one. Could make a case that Andrew Miller was another. Luke Gregerson was another. Are we better off just sticking with what we know and feeling comfortable that we're not going to lose this guy? I'd look at it. Where am I at with Alex Reyes? What do I project Alex Reyes as?
He's the one that I find to be the most interesting Cardinal this offseason.
And the thing is, too, BK, you also have to understand your people. So this goes beyond the player and what you think you project as a... what the player is, okay? So you pretty much know what the player is, okay? You've got numbers that quantify it, and his side will understand that too. But here's what I'm talking about. If I'm talking about some kid that's from the Dominican that grew up on a dirt floor, and I'm offering him $55 million, which is the case for some of these players, Carlos Martinez being one of them, and you're saying to that young man, hey, by the way, we will give you financial security that you are taking care of all your family, your people that you grew up with right now and beyond. Is that something that interests you? It might. There are some players that come from affluent families that could care less about that. They're like, hey, I'll just play it out. Then when I hit free agency, I hit free agency and I do what I do. But understanding the player and the person, do you have a family to take care of? Would you like to take care of that family now? Use it as bad as it sounds. It's kind of like the leverage game. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a young man that we could take care of. We want to take care of him, but it has to make sense on both sides.
Both sides, yeah.
Are we more aggressive in trying to do that now because we understand that there are family situations that maybe we can help?
The other thing is injuries, right? You mentioned Alex Reyes, and for some of these guys, it's just the risk threshold. Where for Alex Reyes, he's wondering, how long is my body going to hold up?
That's
I legitimately
right.
don't know the answer to that question.
That's part of the person thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the pectoral. He's had shoulder. He's had Tommy John. Man, my window to make money is very short. I'm very talented in this field that I'm in of baseball. Is it making sense for me to do this now?
And if you sign that contract, in baseball, it's not like football where it's non-guaranteed. It's guaranteed the moment that you sign that dotted line. And that doesn't mean that it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It's just that's the way that it works in the sport. And so if I'm Alex Reyes and they're offering me $35 million to sign this sheet of paper versus if I don't sign that, I'm guaranteed $1 to $2 million next year. And then everything after that is year to year for me, at least right now. Yeah, I can see how that would be something that would interest a guy like that. Those are the kinds of players. Tyler O'Neill's another. He's had a lot of injuries in his history. How much is he going to bet on himself versus, okay, this is $50 million, all I care about, and we know the person. All Tyler O'Neill cares about is playing baseball. I can sign this contract. I know I'm going to be here. I can just focus on going out there and playing every day now moving forward. He's another guy that I could see going down that path with the Cardinals.
I'll tell you what, if I was an agent, and I've been doing this a long time, I haven't been on that side of the ledger, if you will, of being an agent, haven't been a player, but I do watch the game and I study the game as hard as I can and try to understand it as best as I can. If I'm an agent and BK is my client and you're a pitcher, let's say BK, and they come to me with millions of dollars and say, yeah, you know, here's the projections that we would have if you hit free agency. It's a lot of money, but this is also life-changing money. And when you're out there playing catch down the right field line, you could blow out your shoulder, you could blow out your elbow. My advice to you is take it. It's where do I sign? I've said that from day one. Where do I sign? Find the money immediately. Take care of your family because you just don't know when it's going to end. Especially if you're not a position player. You're not Ronald Acuna who's going to bounce back from this knee. You're a pitcher. And they haven't figured out how to come back from a shoulder. Some that do, some that don't. They figure out the elbow, but you have a shoulder issue, you better watch out.
I think if you're a lower, like a third through fifth starter or a middle reliever, totally with you, Dan. If you're a guy who projects to be a frontline starter, like, for example, Noah Syndergaard, not taking that money. Because I've now seen, okay, baseball still values you. Even when you haven't pitched for 2 years, Noah Syndergaard has not pitched for 2 years. But that is a rare exception. I mean, you have to be a guy that has shown legit ace stuff.
Yeah.
If you got that in your history, okay, baseball will continue giving you opportunities. You'll have multiple bites at the apple. But if you're not that guy, if you're somebody that projects more as a three or a four, something like that, yeah, take the money as early as you can, get that guaranteed, and then later on, there will be other deals out there available to
you. How about Noah Syndergaard, by the way? I was just thinking of this. Coming off of Tommy John surgery, the way I would project it, he's going to get 130 to 135 innings because you're going to be careful with him. And he just signed for $22 million for 135 innings.
That's a wild, wild signing.
Do you agree with that?
No, I mean,
I mean, the Tommy John, you're looking at a, I mean, you're going to be careful, 130, 135.
Oh, I agree with your assessment of what they should expect from him next year. I don't agree with their assessment of why they decided to make this move. I think it indicates that they're going with a six-man rotation for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you couldn't with the guys that you have in that rotation right
and
now.
And so if I'm an agent, I'm like, okay, the Angels just did this. I got a lot of pitching. What else? You open for business? Let's do this.
If I'm Robbie Ray's agent, that's the team that I'm calling right now.
Do you realize it's 10:27 already?
Yeah, man.
You're flying through this show.
Baseball.
I love baseball.
Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
I love this text, and we're getting a bunch of them, but the 618, if BK is your client, you're doing well. Dude got two promotions during a pandemic, and BK said, that's funny, and then he responded. He said, the only thing blowing up more than your popularity is Tanner's hot tub.
That's a good point.
You know, as we all know, you are getting married very shortly here.
Yeah, I am 2.5 weeks away at this point.
2.5 weeks, and I asked if I could crash your wedding. I was invited, thank you, and one of my kids is out of town, and I got to take him, and I said, hey, I think I can make it back, though, kind of late. If that's okay, I don't want to give up my spot and not show up. And I said, don't worry. I said, I'm just going to show up and, you know, just hang out. And he said, don't worry, you could be Tanner's plus one.
Yeah, I offered you Tanner's plus one. He didn't use it, and everybody was able to have one on the day.
I tried to use it. Let's clarify.
He failed to be
able to
use it.
You know, the chick magnet just ain't as strong as it used to be.
Is that right?
Yeah, failed miserably.
You're going to the wedding, though, right?
I am. 20 minutes, max.
20 minutes, max.
Do you realize going to a wedding, there's going to be, I would assume, BK, some other single ladies?
There are multiple, at least two eligible bachelorettes.
See, that answer's changed. Last time I brought that up, I was like, no, they're all married.
I mean, most of the bridesmaids are taken.
So what you're telling me is there's a chance.
There are other women that tend to attend wedding other than those who are in the wedding.
Let me tell you something. You go to that wedding, Tanner. And I'm a 47-year-old man, almost 48, been to many weddings. There's a good shot you're going to walk away very pleased.
Yeah, Tony Patrico is going to be the DJ for the night. He'll make sure you're taken care of, Tanner. There will be plenty of good music, I promise.
Nice.
The libations are flowing, and the ladies are there going, oh, my God, when is this going to happen?
The liquor is free.
There's a good
point. Tanner starts looking pretty good after a couple of drinks.
And
I look good before the drinks, sir.
And Tanner, what happens is the ladies that are single there start saying, oh, my God, I mean, BK got married. Now she's married to BK. And then I look at the bridesmaids and they're all married. When is my turn? And then there's little Tanner.
And look at Tanner.
And then he's sitting in the corner, you know, sucking on a Diet Coke. And all of a sudden she's like, eh, what the hell? And you might meet your future wife.
You never know. That could be the that could be the night.
You know what? I think I'll stay longer than 20 minutes. You convinced me.
I'm going to be your plus one, Tanner. And
all right.
We're going to get you dancing. We're going to get you out there dancing.
I don't know that anybody needs that in their lives.
I don't think that's going to help my cause.
I think it could.
Yeah, it might.
They're going to be like, that dude's got game.
My best move's the sprinkler.
That checks out.
The sprinkler?
Yeah.
The thing that when you go like...
He's 60 years old, and that's a move from like the 30s, so that makes sense.
Jesus.
Or what's that one called, Milk the Cow?
What?
Never even heard of that.
Tanner?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
That's a very different thing, man. Very different thing.
See, 636 Tanner, I'm 50. Listen to me. Even if you can't dance, don't be afraid of the dance floor. That's when you're in with the ladies. And I think that's true. 314 said the ladies are single until Tanner shows up. Just saying. I love it. Let's see. Tanner would look tall if the ladies had too many libations and are on the floor. some of these are really good. Danny can be Tanner's wingman. I'm already saying that I will.
Yeah. Dan already signed up willingly. I think Dan actually signed himself up for the job.
I would love to.
He was excited about the opportunity.
If I come in there, you know, we'll if you just show a little game, Tanner, go over there. How you doing? What's your name? Oh, Sue. How you doing, Susie? You look awesome. You enjoy. What brought you to the wedding? Well, I'm friends with, you know, BK. That's great. Well, what kind of guy was BK? Let me tell you a little bit. Something. Yeah. And all of a sudden the conversation starts. Next thing you know, you're out there dancing. Next thing you know, you're going to the Tivoli Theater and watching the Kurt Warner movie.
Tanner's going to have you and Jamie Rivers as his wingmen for this wedding, and it's going to go great for him. I don't know how that fails.
Wait a minute. Jamie's going solo?
Well, no. Jamie will just help him find somebody.
Jamie's just a wingman no matter where he's at.
Yeah, he's going to be there. All right, Dan, let's get to a couple of these questions from the text line.
I had some good thoughts on that.
65780 is the Air Comfort Service text line. This one comes from the 636. Guys, is Max Scherzer a pipe dream or a reality for the Cardinals this offseason?
The more I think about it, the more I think it could be a reality. Now, do I think that reality will come to fruition? I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. But, you know, the one thing that you have to remember the first time through is that it was a long-term deal with a lot of money where the Cardinals do have money. And this would be a 2, maybe 3 year. So two would be guaranteed. Your third would be some incentives to hit potentially, whatever the case may be. I would imagine any team that would guarantee a third year probably gets him, would be my guess. That takes him through age 40. And as I always say, it's not my money, but I do put it in sports terms. It's just money. It's not draft picks. Mm-hmm. It's not trade. It's not losing some of your top prospects to go trade for this guy. It's just money. And if it didn't work out, he'd say, well, you know what? We brought him home. It was fun. It didn't work out, but, you know, it cost us $80 million. Again, $80 million. It's not my money, but it's when you start looking at what's the greatest commodity you have in the sport, it's draft choices, it's your young players, and it's your prospects. And money is money. And you can still make money. So that's why I think I'm more bullish on the idea that this could happen more so than not. Do I think it will? I'm not going to put a percentage on it. Do I think they're kicking the tires of it and saying, how do we make this work? Absolutely. Because he'd be a great fit. But then you say, okay, if we dedicated X amount of dollars, are we better going to two or three guys for that X amount of dollars that's as opposed to the one that's 37? That's the hard part to try to figure out.
Yeah, it really comes down to if you're gonna be in those top end pitching markets, I would rather get Scherzer than Stroman. I like Stroman. I love Marcus Stroman. I think he's a great fit for what you do. I didn't think he was going to be as expensive as what it appears he's probably going to be. If he's going to get that 5-year, $125 million contract that some people are projecting for him now, I would rather go 3-100 on Max Scherzer than the 5-125 on Stroman. And I know there is a difference there. One of them is $34 million per year. The other's 25. I'll take that extra $9 million a year on the guy that I think can legitimately win the Cy Young in any of those next three seasons.
Isn't part of it, though, too, also thinking about where am I at with Tyler O'Neill, Tommy Edman, Alex Reyes, Harrison Bader? So I'm looking 2 or 3 years down the road, and Jack Flaherty. That's something to think about. Now, if I'm Max Scherzer, if it's not all about money, and I'm going to take this out of the equation too, BK, it's not all about going back to my hometown. Just saying the sentimentality is taken out of it. I would say, boy, I sure liked how they handled Adam Wainwright. Because that's the kind of pitcher I've been. I'm not a five and fly guy. I'm going to go against the grain of what the what baseball is doing. I would imagine that he probably wasn't overly pleased with how he was used at times by the Dodgers. And that's where a lot of teams are going. That's how they use their pitchers. It's five, maybe six, and fly. And I'm not talking just postseason. I'm talking all the time where like Wainwright is an outlier with how he was used. Mike Schilt let him go into the eighth and ninth. Max Scherzer loves to go deep into games. He looks at it as a responsibility. So if I'm in Max Scherzer's shoes, before I sign, I'm saying to the potential other side of this, the manager, the front office, hey, I'm not the same guy that you are going to treat pitcher X, Y, and Z like. I go deep into games. That's how I'm used. That's how I get better. And that would interest me if I'm Max Scherzer is something that St. Louis would offer. And I bet they would do that, too, for him.
And by the way, we've arrived at a place where some treat the word analytics as if it's the boogeyman and it's like the thing that's hiding under your bed and you just don't want to go check. Like, yeah, you should treat Max Scherzer differently.
Yes,
the reason why you take other guys out the third time through the order is because they're not good the third time through the order. Max Scherzer's dominant, whether it's the first time, the second time, the third time through. And once you see him stop being effective, yeah, that's when you go get him. It's okay to treat different guys differently. I'm not going to use Adam Wainwright the same way that I would use Johan Oviedo. So I do think that's an important thing. And by the way, that's what the numbers would tell you, too. Like, yep. The analytics say, keep Max Scherzer in there longer. So I think sometimes we lose sight of this and we put it into like, hey, the vacuum of all numbers say third time through, nobody should face the opponent. That's just not true. It's based on a number of different variables. And with Max Scherzer, yeah, I want that dude pitching as long as he can possibly pitch for me.
Well, I think some people would look at it and go, well, then in your rotation, you're talking about a guy that is 37 going to be 38, another one that's 40 to 41. I don't need to fall in line with what everybody is doing in baseball. Sure. There are outliers that tell you, yes, these are particular guys that you take a flyer on or you give them the benefit of the doubt. And I understand that there's certain things in baseball that stick out like a sore thumb in the numbers, in the analytics that'll tell you, yeah, you better do it this way. But this would be one that here's the other thing too, BK, when you add a Max Scherzer, you're saying we're going for it too. When you're saying 37 and we're going to give a guy $30-35 million, we're saying we're really good and we're going for it. And as I look at it, I understand that there are some people that say, take away the 17 game winning streak, take away the last month and a half. You need to look at offense. I think there are ways that you can get creative with your offense. And I'm excited. We're going to talk to Brian Walton tomorrow. I mean, Juan Yepes had an incredible Arizona Fall League. Granted, it's the Arizona Fall League.
Named the co-hitter of the year in the Fall League this year.
Nolan Gorman is coming. You have others that are coming. So do I want to put that money dedicated to some veterans coming off my bench or a shortstop, or am I going pitching? And for me, it's pitching. And that means I'm looking at the biggest fish that's out there. That's Max Scherzer. And if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But then I'm looking at Marcus Stroman. I'm looking at Steven Matz, who also fits a profile of what the Cardinals need. They need strike throwers. And if they can find strike throwers, and in particular, guys that are ground ball percentage, high ground ball percentage guys, they're going to have success here in St. Louis. It's just the way it is.
And by the way, just to put a fine point on what I mentioned with Max Scherzer staying in deeper into games, the first time through the order last year as a starting pitcher, Max Scherzer allowed a 191 batting average, which is incredible. I mean, that in and of itself is a remarkable feat. The OPS against him was 575. The third time through, Dan, opposing hitters hit 160 against him,
yes,
with a 540 OPS. The analytics, the numbers, whatever you want to look at, they all say if Scherzer is pitching well, if he's not looking tired out there, keep him in as long as you possibly can, because that third time through, when he's given up a 160 batting average and a 540 OPS, that's better than whatever dude you're about to bring out of your bullpen. It is. So as long as he is not looking like he is ready to be done, you keep him out there. So yeah, if you can go out there and you sign Max Scherzer, you treat him differently than you do any other pitcher that's in your rotation other than Adam Wainwright, and honestly, even including Adam Wainwright.
618 says, Dan, the person who let a guy go into the eighth or ninth is no longer in the organization, talking about Mike Schild. Hence, letting guys go into the eighth or ninth, the guy that they just hired, goes against exactly that. I don't think we can say that. I don't think we know that yet. And by the way, that was Mike's right-hand man, and believe me, they were talking about those decisions. Ultimately, is Mike Schilt's decision as to whether or not a guy is double switched, if a guy gets pinch hit for, or if you let Adam Wainwright go into the eighth or the ninth. We don't know how Ali Marmol is going to manage, but I will say this: when it comes to guys like a Scherzer or a Wainwright, he's going to give those players the benefit of the doubt. And he is a guy that has a great relationship with his players. Now, does that change that he's the head man? Time will tell. But I don't think that that's fair to just say, well, all of a sudden you're not going to let Adam Wainwright not pitch into the eighth or ninth because it's a new manager. We just don't know. And maybe that will be the case. Maybe the texter is right. But my gut would tell me that Ollie's been around Adam long enough to know when and when not to take him out. That would be my gut.
Again, Adam Wainwright is the exception here. The third time through the order last year, opposing hitters hit 180 against right. Adam Wainwright. When you have numbers like that, when you pitch the way that Waino does, where he sometimes pitches backwards, he will show a guy one thing in the first time that he comes up to the plate, and then he'll show him something completely differently in the second and then also in the third time through the order. That's the type of guy you are okay seeing the opposing hitters come up the third time against him. Now, there are some games where you can see Waino just doesn't have his best stuff tonight.
Yep.
And that's the feel part of it, right? And you've got to be able to see, okay, they're hitting him really hard. That the last six batters all, when they put the ball in play, hit it at 100 miles an hour. We got super lucky. It was right at guys. Okay, get him out of there. We're going to go to our pin here. But in general, these things just aren't decided in a vacuum where it says, hey, the third time through the order, you take your starter out. No, you go individualized on some of these things. If it's Johan Oviedo, you're going to take him out the third time through. If you're looking at Dakota Hudson next year early in the season as you're worried about his innings to get through the full year, maybe you're going to be going five and dive with him. But there are other guys, specifically Waino, Scherzer, if you go sign him, their value to you is that they do provide those innings and they provide some relief to your bullpen for that third, fourth, and fifth starter when you need them more often.
You know, the beauty of those two guys as well is that I've seen both, especially watching Waino and doing the majority of his games where he does not have it early. And you're like, oh, man. And the metrics show it. Like, to your point, guys are hitting it triple digits against him and he's getting out of a jam or he's giving up a run or two. The beauty of having guys that have been around a long time and have changed as the game has changed, and I've said it many, many times, game has changed more in the last 7 years than it has in the last 50. They make adjustments where a lot of times young pitchers do not adjust. They find a way to get you to the sixth. They're just going to do it. I mean, you can pretty much bank on these guys giving you minimum six. And that's the other part of this, which is it doesn't show up coming off a page, but watching. Okay, first time through, the cutter wasn't there and it got hit. Well, now you're going to start seeing Uncle Charlie flipping up curveballs nonstop, bust a guy inside, little cutter outside. Now here's a curveball, starts a guy off with a curveball, and it's soft contact, and you look up and you're still in the game. You're either down by one, down by two, tied, whatever, but they find a way. That doesn't happen a lot of times with young pitchers.
Yeah,
just didn't happen.
And that's what you've got to be able to develop over time. And that's the thing that is so difficult in the majors now is you've got these guys that are going up there and they're throwing all out max effort from the start to the finish of the game.
This is an interesting text, and I have thought about it. Are we concerned about Scherzer having a dead arm in the playoffs? I'm not necessarily concerned. Now, on its surface, I'm looking at a guy that's 37 and countless innings and strikeouts and pitches thrown. And your text is very, very valid. I think I'd have to go back and look at how he was used, though, in the playoffs, like closing the game out against the Giants and then expecting him to come back. And that's kind of where I'm going back with how he would be used at various spots in St. Louis. You're going to be the number one, number two, whatever the case may be. You're going to pitch every fifth day, and you tell us, I mean, he prepares. I've heard stories about him because I'm friends with a lot of guys in Washington, and we see him a lot in spring training. They say this guy is a maniac between starts, keeping his body in shape, his arm ready, and the preparation that goes into the next start. So to your question, I think I'd be more concerned about how did he respond, short days rest, how did he respond coming out of a bullpen, more so am I concerned that, oh, all of a sudden he's got dead arm. I don't think so. His track record has been there that if you use him in a traditional sense, he's fine.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's not a 1 for me, but it's certainly not anywhere close to a 10 in terms of the concern level. I think there's like a 3 because he's 37. If he was 28, I would have zero concern level at all about this. But he is 37. That also means there's more of a track record of him being able to overcome little nicks and bruises That's throughout right. the course of the season. He knows his body. And
he's probably had a bunch of them and pitches through it.
And we just don't know about him because they didn't happen in the highest possible leverage situation when you were in the postseason. I think he's going to be fine. Do I have some concern level over a 3-year deal for a guy that's coming off of dead arm in the postseason? Sure. It's not a 1, but I also think that this is Max Scherzer, and if you've got an opportunity to go out there and get him, you try to do that. I mean, we talked with, I can't remember who it was specifically, but We asked them, hey, if you could sign one player, I think it was Eno Saris, if you could sign one player this offseason to change your team, who would it be? Like, forget, set aside the money, just one guy that would change the course of what your trajectory is as a team. Said, I'd go get Max Scherzer.
Yep.
He walks through the door, and the moment that he does, you know you've got an ace on your staff. And there are,
I agree,
like 10 dudes in baseball who can legitimately say that. And I'm not even talking free agency wise. I'm just saying in the sport, there's like 10 dudes that walk through that door and have the type of cachet that Max Scherzer does. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense if you can make it work financially.
That's BK. I'm Danny Mac, and we'll cross it over coming up next.
Can't get enough Cards talk? You've come to the right place. Back to more of the Danny Mac Show with BK on 101 ESPN.
So we cross it over as BK and Alex Ferrario will have you for the next 3 hours. Reminder that we have the Blues and the Golden Knights pregame at 6 on 101 ESPN. Kind of an odd schedule, talking with our buddy Mike Ryder before the show. The Blues are back home. He said, yeah, they got the Golden Knights tonight. I go, yeah, I guess I'd be a late start. He's like, no, they're home. And I'm like, huh. Well, that's kind of weird. So they go to Dallas, then they come home tonight against Vegas, and then they've got a game on Wednesday in Detroit. Then there's Thanksgiving, and then they'll be in Chicago for a day game. And then Saturday, I would imagine that Saturday night they take on the Blue Jackets. That will be one of the toughest tickets to get. It's back to a full house, obviously. And anytime that you have the kids back home and Thanksgiving weekend, that's going to be a madhouse this Saturday at Enterprise. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a fun one. And Dan, I was reading a piece earlier today over on The Athletic about the way that they scheduled things this year. I mean, look to, for example, next week, Tampa Bay. The Blues play them at home on Tuesday and then on the road on Thursday. And then they play Florida.
I might
Florida.
Have to go. You know what? Is it Tampa Bay Thursday and then when's Florida?
Florida's the following week, so they go to Florida for Saturday, and then they're home against Florida on the following Tuesday.
Ooh, so we got a Florida swing on next Thursday, mm-hmm. And I may have to be on remote.
You'll be down in Tampa and then heading straight down to Miami.
I'm thinking about
it. Dan will be doing the show from a golf course.
I may have to do. I got to see what the weather looks like. I got in 16 holes yesterday, though. I was very excited.
When they're in Miami, I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be sunny in about 75 to 80.
Yeah.
Just going to go out on a limb and say in mid-November, yeah, that's about right.
One time I was doing the Blues, and I went out and played golf all day, and then all day the next day I missed the morning skate, and I got ready to get on the bus, and Mike Kitchen looked at me and said, boy, tough trip, huh? I was as red as you can possibly get. It was really bad. Like, basically, my forehead had already started to peel. But that's what you do when you go down there. That's fun.
I mean, it's not bad, man. I am waiting. I've got, 3 weeks from today, I will be on the beach in Punta Cana.
Looking forward
to it, aren't
you?
I'm already on vacation, and it's 3 weeks away.
I got 16 holes in yesterday, and then I had to break away, and I took on my son, who's
nice out yesterday.
It's great, 16 years old. I said, okay, we'll play match play. He closed me out in the first nine in about five holes, and then I said, okay, everything's on the line on this par three, and he plays basically from the tips. I do not. And I said, yeah, I feel pretty good about this. He's hitting like a 210 yard on a par three, put it 5 feet and got a birdie, and I got a par, and I felt really bad. Anyway, what do you have coming up on your show?
Dan, I've got a whole lot for you coming up today on the show. At 11:15, we are going to get back into the Cardinals. John Mozeliak had some interesting comments yesterday to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about the starting pitching market, saying it's a very thin market, and that's why we're seeing so many of these guys sign for more than we expected to. I looked at it as the opposite. I thought this was a deep pitching market. It might indicate for the Cardinals, it's a thin pitching
market.
It's
all in the eye of the beholder, right?
I do wonder what that means and what that can indicate for what their expectations are this offseason. We'll do that coming up at 11:15, but we are going to start with the Blues, who we just talked about. Since November 7th, they're bottom five in the league in goals per game, and they're bottom six in the league in goals allowed per game. What's going on with this team? How do they get it back on track? I'll ask Alex coming up here in just a minute.
Peloton, let's go!
This holiday, with the right music and the right motivation from world-class instructors,
we're going to pick it up a notch. It's the holiday season.
You might just surprise yourself with what you're capable of. Work out to thousands of live and on-demand classes, from running to cycling to yoga. Try Peloton risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only, not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial. Peloton, motivation that moves you.